I'm in Baton Rouge now, having driven about 300 miles of the Gulf Coast this morning, starting very early this morning in Houston and then on through East Texas to Lake Charles, Louisiana, and then Lafayette, and now across the mighty Mississippi on into the state capital of Louisiana, Baton Rouge. The weather is spectacular now. If you like it sticky, it is sunny and hot and very muggy, 98 degrees right now, but no more rain in the forecast, and people are very grateful for that. I'm looking at a boarded-up liquor store here. Someone has painted, "Rain, rain, another day, please, Katrina, go away," on it. But in fact, Baton Rouge was spared. The streets are bone dry here, and driving over the swamps and bayous to get here, the water level was very high, but there's no real physical damage to this point. That is really limited to parts of New Orleans and, of course, the Mississippi coast, which is still east of here. But what there is in every town, all the way back to Texas, is just a flood of refugees. Every hotel and motel is overrun. Every city has set up shelters. Everywhere you go, there are people camped out and stressed out and worn out. And every person I've met is either a refugee or a volunteer or an insurance adjuster or a government aid worker. The scope of this disaster, truly enormous, and it may be weeks before people can even begin leading somewhat normal lives. Rebecca?
Doug, it's starting to look like there are a vast number of homes in the New Orleans area that they won't even be able to salvage. I mean, doesn't it depend on how long the water stays there in the bottom few feet?
Well, some people, I mean, their homes were just blown away and they're gone completely. Others were flooded and soaked and were ruined that way. Most of the people I spoke with today from New Orleans who had evacuated out to these outlying areas assume their homes are gone and that they have nothing to go back to. And I think that's true for a lot of these people. They have no homes. Now, some people were saying they want to go back anyway. They're not being allowed back in. New Orleans, you still can't get in. It's shut down. Some people were going to try to sneak in just to get some things, see if they could salvage anything, and then go back out. They weren't even being allowed to do that. But a lot of people I talked to were starting to realize now, 3 days out, that they're not going to be living in New Orleans anymore. They were talking about looking for jobs, finding apartments in places like Lake Charles and Lafayette, which are a couple hours west of New Orleans. A couple of people were even saying, gee, maybe I'll just move on to Texas because there's nothing left for them to go back to.
Huh. How close do you expect to get to New Orleans?
You know, not that close, to tell you the truth. You know, the highway is closed somewhere between where I am now in New Orleans, not too much farther, actually. And the city officially is evacuated, and they want to evacuate the people who are still in there, including the media. And a lot of media have left. I've seen a lot of TV trucks coming out of New Orleans. I think people have had enough. It's been a pretty difficult thing to cover for people. I'm told, and I've been in communication with other, you know, local media down here, that no, we won't get into the city itself at this point, which is okay. I mean, we're getting plenty of network coverage out of there. I think there's amazing stories to tell of all the people who have left and are now spread out over this whole countryside.
Absolutely. And I was listening to some reporters this morning who said because of the looting and some of the other stuff that's going on, they need police escort to make their way through New Orleans. And, you know, you don't want to be more trouble.
I've had enough of that in my life. I don't need to be shot at today.
Yeah, well, and you know, you don't want to. Police shouldn't be escorting reporters around. They should be doing other
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Absolutely. I don't want to get in anybody's way or make them do any more work than they have to. Yeah. And yeah, I want to stay out of the way and do my work and not interfere with anyone. People are pretty incredible. I will say, so many people have volunteered. In fact, there's some people I met who were evacuated from New Orleans. They were in Lafayette. They went down actually to volunteer because they could afford a hotel room for themselves. They went down to the shelter to help people who had nothing, to help the people a lot less fortunate than they who were in the same boat, so to speak.
Always nice to see. Doug, good to hear from you, and we look forward to the rest of your reports. Doug Sovereign reporting live from Baton Rouge.
Good morning. I'm Stan Bunger.
I'm Susan Lee Taylor.
Here's what's happening.
As you heard on our CBS Hourly News, refugees who have crowded into the Louisiana Superdome will now be taken by bus convoy to the Houston Astrodome. Meanwhile, as the flooding worsens in New Orleans, hundreds of shelters and refugee camps are springing up all along the Gulf Coast. For more on that part of the story, let's go live to the KCBS Newsline, where we're joined by KCBS's Doug Sovereign live in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Doug?
Well, Susan and Stan, there are already shelters set up as far back as Houston, Texas, and that's 300 miles away from the Crescent City, and now you can add the Astrodome to that list. Here in Lake Charles, the Civic Center basketball court has been converted into a home a long way from home for more than 2,000 people who came here from New Orleans to escape the hurricane's wrath. Karen DeLong got out with just the clothes on her back and a few members of her family.
We left relatives behind. We have no way of getting in touch with them or anything. I left my brother, my sister-in-law, my aunt, and her three kids, and We don't know if they survived or if they made it or if they're somewhere safe or what.
Now she's camped out on a floor covered with cots and blankets and a lot of bored, stressed-out people playing cards and Monopoly. DeLong doesn't think she has a home to go back to, so she's facing relocating here for good.
It's hard, but you have to be strong. You really have to be strong because, don't get me wrong, we all have cried our eyes out, you know, but we can't keep sitting up here feeling sorry for ourselves. We have to do something about it.
The scope of this displacement is beyond anything we've ever seen in the Bay Area. Live in Lake Charles, Louisiana, Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
All right, thank you, Doug.
Dan, right now, let's go to the KCBS Newsline, where we are joined live this morning by KCBS reporter Doug Sovereign. Doug Sovereign flew into Houston and is now heading toward New Orleans. And Doug, we understand right now that you're in the community of Lake Charles, which is about 200 miles from New Orleans. Can you tell us what you're seeing?
Well, good morning, Susan and Stan. Yeah, I'm in Lake Charles, Louisiana, which, like every city of significant size from Houston all the way here to the east towards New Orleans, is pretty much overrun with refugees, I guess you call them. The Lake Charles Civic Center has a couple thousand people basically camped out, sheltering here. There are people in shelters all the way back to Houston. They've set up six or eight shelters in Houston and more in Beaumont, Texas, and throughout that area. Every hotel, church, they're just shelters all along the way as people have fled Louisiana and Mississippi. Here, these are people who have come from the New Orleans area and have no idea when they're going to get back. I've talked to a couple people who say they'd love to go back, but they don't think they have anything to go back to. And I don't get a feeling that I'm actually going to get into New Orleans because I-10, which is the big east-west freeway heading towards New Orleans, is actually shut down at Baton Rouge. And as you know, of course, New Orleans has been evacuated, and they want to evacuate it further. They even want the media to leave now. I'm sure some TV people will stay behind, but they want everybody out, and anybody who did stay behind, I think, kind of wants to get out at this point. There's no running water there, no electricity, very little food. It's a pretty dire situation. A lot of these people here are wondering just how long they're going to have to hunker down for. Some people were saying they may have to look for work. They think they could be in this area for weeks.
Doug, what is your sense of services? You know, when we think of an evacuation center, we think of a day or two, maybe a couple of nights. You get a couple of military meals. It's all a big grand adventure, and you gripe about the cot you had to sleep on. This sounds like more like a dislocation, something like we might see in the Middle East.
It is more like wartime for these people. It's not a grand adventure, I can tell you that. Nobody's having a good time. The Red Cross is here. There are all sorts of people coming down to volunteer. But, of course, you know, that spirit tends to wear off after a few days. I hope people will still keep volunteering and bringing these people food and the like. At this point, the services here seem pretty good. We're still, as you said, maybe 200 miles west of New Orleans, so this area not especially hard hit. It's a beautiful sunny day. You'd never know there was a hurricane. It's 90 degrees and southern steamy heat. Looks like it's going to be a nice sunny day. But for now, there's still ample food and water and the like here, and this area has power and all of that. As you get closer and closer, once we get to the state capital, Baton Rouge, I think some of those services will start to disappear.